Lord, I just thank you for the time we have gathered, Lord, to spend in your word. And Lord, may we encounter you, Lord. Everything we do in here, Lord, every sign, symbol points to you. It's your hands, Lord. It's your who you are. And Lord, even time like this is just for means of encounter. And I pray, Lord, today that we would encounter you. Just reading scripture, Lord. Just thank you in Jesus' name. We were up there. I love that song. It's one of my favorite songs. I'm glad David played it. And awesome song. Looked down there in this scripture, Passion Translation, and this little spider was on it, little jumping spider, and on that word passion, and made me think again of something the Lord spoke through a servant. I can't remember who it was, one a guy I like to read, and I have it written in my Bible, and he said, which is very true, that the enemy of our soul is after our passion, right? Because once he snuffs out your passion to seek the Lord, then other things come in and fill it. And I said, that's really true, because anything in life that you go after or do, you know, if you're a buff or whatever, like you're a, you know, World War II buff, whatever that means, you have a real passion for it, and you go to, you know, see things or go to museums and stuff because you have a passion for it, right? Yes, passion to go, me too. That's my passion, going seeing doctors. But what happens in that is that the Lord keeps our passion stirred up because he actually put it in us. You have it. It's not something that you got to muster up. You have it, right? And so we just ask the Lord to keep that coming to stuff like this every day and stuff and taking communion. Just keeps that flame in us just pilot light, right? Lit all the time. We have a pilot light. Sometimes it's dim, but it ignites us. But in this, what I was just, the Lord was speaking to me about this morning, about so many, the scripture, and we, amazing how we just miss it. And it really is because it's the greatest warfare. Bishop talks about that a lot, and I really agree with that. It's where blinding our minds that we can't see, you know, the glory of God and the face of Christ. So we hear that a lot, but I knew the Lord was wanting to, I remembered a scripture. I couldn't remember where it was, and I looked it up on my phone, and it's in this Passion Translation of Romans, a verse which talks about us being vessels of glory, right? Containers of glory, which is really true. He says this, and this is Romans 9:23. And doesn't he have the right, this is God, doesn't he, God, also have the right to release the revelation of the wealth of his glory, his manifest presence, to his vessels of his mercy, whom God prepared beforehand to receive his glory, right? That we are vessels that God created and prepared us, created us as a vessel. And the whole idea was vessels of glory to be able to receive his glory, right? And revelation. Again, you hear me say that a lot, and I'm going to say it until I die. But everything in the Christian life comes to us by way of revelation. When it is revealed, unveiled, scripture uses that in scripture we're going to read here in a minute, and 2 Corinthians about Moses' face being veiled or covered, when there's this uncovering and unveiling of who he is, and everything is by this revelatory knowledge. Then, once that begins to happen, and we get this revelation that we are this vessel that is filled with this glory of God, then we can start learning how to walk in it, right? Learning that we're so full. Matter of fact, Scripture says we're so full. It uses the word, a cool Greek word, that you're so full, like it's filling the glass to the brim. And if you kind of look at it, it's kind of got a little, you know, like this, a little hump on it. And if you drop one more drop of water in this thing, it'll spill over. That's how full of the presence of God you and I, who are vessels of his mercy, grace, how much we're filled with that. Right. And so the early guys, the early church, I was saying this the other night, they had the only difference between us and them. They didn't have the scripture like we have. It was being actually written then, but they had a great, much greater understanding of that they were vessels of mercy, that they were vessels that contained the glory and the presence of God. Right. Because then, you know, they could come. Most of them were illiterate. Like, how do they, you know, if they can read, how do they get it? Revelation, right? They knew who they were in Christ. So they'd get together and they would worship together. They would, whatever they had, the guy would read public reading of scriptures. It talks about, you know, things. But everything they did in their service, right, was a thing pointing to the Lord. You know, like the sword, the word of God, everything, right, just to remind them and who they are. And then they, Paul said to the Galatians, he said, I'm going to remain with you until Christ is formed in you, until Christ, you are matured in him, right? So I think that's a really, Lord gave me that scripture. I'd forgotten about it early on in the CEC. One of the scriptures that he used for us to come in was out of Jeremiah chapter 6. And it was, says, stand by and ask for the ancient paths, or the ancient, where the way is good, and you'll find rest for your souls, you know. And so when the Lord was telling us to go back to the blueprint of the early church, and it wasn't about just their formality and everything else, but it was about go back there to where the people had a great understanding of who they were in Christ. Also, there's a lot to that. So that's why we're on this journey, always been on this journey of discovery, right? And so Satan has done very well of people throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I was taught to believe that the church got off its rails in about 95 AD and stayed that way till the 1500s, right? Crazy, preposterous. How could something be off the rails for 1500 years? It'd be so off the rails that it would be gone, right? Not true. And so that was part of that. Anyway, that's not really what I'm talking about. But just to read a few scriptures about that as being vessels in context of that, you know, one is in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 3, where Paul is talking to these guys, and he was like, you know, this is the foundation that you build on, and one day the fire of God will test it, the love of God, and everything will be burned up. Some things will remain, you know, which is anything done from a place of Christ, you know, will remain. And then in the context of that, he's saying, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you, you know? And so in the context of that, he's saying, guys, remember, you're the temple of God. The Spirit dwells in you. And reminding them. And so in these Corinthians, you know, cool thing I like about the Lord, all this cool stuff in Corinthians is that they got everything wrong, you know? And Paul was so good. He wrote these letters so they would get it right, not to correct. And then he says this again in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, talking about our bodies, how bodies are temples, right? And he even uses how God will raise us up through his power, which we'll talk about in just a second. I'm not going to keep you long. He's talking about how a person joins himself. You know, if you use this illustration, you know, if you, you know, go out and hire a prostitute, you know, you become one with them. And he's just talking about what it means to become one with Christ, you know, and how, and he says this again, or do you not know that your body is a temple or a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit, right? You're a vessel of God's mercy. Do you not realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, that he dwells in you? And so therefore, I'm not going to go join myself with a prostitute because of that, but it was just using that as an illustration so we'd get it. Therefore, it says, you have been bought with a price. Therefore, you do not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God. You're not your own. It says, you have been bought with a price of the cross. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And I looked, you know, I was reading that from the original Greek, and somehow the translators left this off of there, which is very important, which says, actually reads, glorify the God who is in your body and in your spirit, right? In the spirit of you. That makes a total difference. You know, God's in, who indwells me in the spirit, that we're a temple. And, you know, people try to use that as, to correct their behavior and, where legalism comes in, a bunch of crazy nonsense. I remember a guy telling me, he said, would you go in a temple or the church building and, take beer and sling it all over the walls? And I said, probably not. And I said, nor would I go in. I said, let me ask you something. Would you go in one and take ketchup and mustard and squirt it all over the walls? You know? I said, that's stupid. I didn't say that. I was thinking that. That's, you know, you can't use that. That just makes no sense. You're trying to do something to make something bad or that. I said, well, you're missing the whole point. What the Lord's talking about is you house your sanctuary of the presence of God. And he invites you into this place, which is called his glory, right? Jesus said in John 17, Father, the glory that you've given me will be in them, the very glory. And you will be in them. And the Holy Spirit will be in them. And we'll all be one. And so when I think about that in my mind, the Lord speaks to me in pictures. I see myself as like the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit's kind of around me, you know, all around me, kind of swirling like this. And I'm kind of sitting in the center of it, right? And the love which Scripture says they love each other. The Father loves the Son loves the Father, the Holy Spirit loves the Father, the Son. The love they share is now, but it's, I'm in that and it's in me, right? Great thing. That's what the Christian life is about, that you've been invited into that. And this is what it says in, we're still in Corinthians, but now we're in 2 Corinthians. He's talking about with Moses, when Moses used to go hang out in the tent of meeting, and he would come out, you know, God would show up, speak to him. It says as a man would speak to him, and people could see a cloud come over this tent. Moses would go in there, chat with the Lord, you know, which is really cool. And when he would come out, his face would be glowing, you know, kind of like the pictures you see of this halo or glory will be shining off of him. And what he used to have to do is wear a veil because it was so bright. But that's not the full reason he wore the veil. Scripture says he wore the veil because the glory would fade, you know, kind of like a sunburn. Sunburn starts fading. You turn tan, but then you go back to pale white, right? That now, he's using that illustration, is that same glory is now the cloud that came over that tabernacle. You are now the tent of meeting, and now it's in you. And this is what he means when he says, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. He says, in whose case the god of this world, the devil, demons, and Satan, and demonic spirits, blinds the mind of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the gospel, which is the glory of Christ, who is the very image of God. And I thought, man, boy, is that true. We do not preach ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus and ourselves as your bondservants. For God who said, same God who said, light shall shine out of darkness in Genesis 1, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give this light of the knowledge of the glory of God and the very person of Christ. So God who says, let there be light, right? He's trying to use that as saying now within you, that same God says to us, come forth light. You know, come forth glory. And so that is what I'm talking about when things come to us by way of revelation. They're unveiled, like the inner God, the light of God shines through to us, and the character and the person of Jesus becomes so real to us, everything that he is, right? In us. So that's always important why the Holy Spirit's there. The same, he uses that over and over again, the same power of God who raised Jesus from the dead, and he uses scriptures that the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, is now in you. And that same Holy Spirit makes Jesus real to me. By calling. And that's what I pray every day, several times a day. Holy Spirit, make Jesus real. Let me come forth, shine. And the Lord always answers that. And that's what he does, you know. So come forth. So y'all have that. We're not lacking anything. But again, we're these vessels. But we have this great, very next verse, we have this treasure, presence of God. And the God in the universe. Isn't that so weird how God, who is everywhere, fills the universe, can come and dwell in something this small, right? Just like when we take Eucharist, how God becomes small for us, that we can, right? That he, all of that's kind of poured into this vessel. I just think that's just so amazing. So that, he says, so that the surpassing power is what's in you, the God who's in you. This is where it comes from. You know, this is repetitive of what we talk about all the time, but as Paul said to Timothy, literally the Greek says, pound it in them. Keep saying it. Keep pounding away at truth until we all are like, yeah, I'm getting it. This is another one. This is Corinthians 2. He keeps telling these guys over and over and over again. When he's telling them, don't be bound together with unbelievers, what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship is light with darkness, yeah. Or for what harmony has Christ with Belial, or what has a believer in common with unbeliever? And then he says this, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are, we are the temple of God. I will dwell in them, and I'll walk among them. I'll be their God, they'll be my people. Then he says, come out from their midst. So again, he's pounding this in them so they'll get it. That, hey guys, this is why you don't join yourselves unequally yoked or to unbelievers, because you are now the temple. God lives in you and walks with you. I mean, you're just, so you can't become one with a bunch of idols. You know, the idols aren't in the temple of God. So again, familiar scripture over and over and over again. That's what the Lord was just saying to me. And cool one too is in 1 Peter, you know. Go back and read that, because he's talking about this great treasure that we have in Jesus. Therefore, gird your mind, prepare your minds, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he goes over and over again about us and in this revelation of Jesus, who through him are believers, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in Christ. So I'll stop there, because there's just too many scriptures to try to read. But I just think the Lord is just wanting us again to remind us of this wonderful thing we have. And I missed some stuff here. Hang on, let me look at my notes here, because I missed some of the scripture. But it's all the same thing. Just so many over and over again, the way the Greek is written, and the way the interpretation of that. The love of God being in us, Jesus being the radiance of God's glory, and over and over again, you know. So he's kind of spoke to me in a very practical way, because we understand the grace, and I'll stop here, I'll give you one more minute. The grace of God is the very presence of God, right? We hear that. The grace is God's affection to me, his love for me. It's the activity of God. It's the power of God. Everything brought to me in the person of Christ, to be revealed to me, right? And so I'm in my office, and I'm trying to pray and study and talk to the Lord, and my daughter Grace keeps busting in my room. She just throws the door open. Dad, you know, telling me something. She has her computer telling me something. Back out, she goes again into her class. 10 minutes later, Dad, throwing my door open, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, gosh, you're distracting me. You know, I can't talk to the Lord because you keep busting in here. And it's like the Lord spoke to me. It was just such a great picture. I'll never forget, because her name is Grace. And he said, when I was asking the Lord, how does this work? How do you do this? How do you, the person, the presence of Christ, how does that released in you? And he said, through grace, right? Just the way grace is busting up in your room, right? I bust in your room. I bust up in your room, right? When I'm asking the Lord, I want to, you know, how do I have the mind of Christ? How do I think this? How do I do this? How do I, you know, take this captive? Great. Jesus busting up in there, right? The grace of God. And I thought, that is really good. You know, Lord, that just helps me so much. And how to take, you know, anger, whatever thoughts we have, we're taking captive. And that's not supposed to be mechanical. It's supposed to be relational. We are taking every thought captive. We, more than one person, right? Him, his grace does that for us. So, I say all that to say we're pregnant and ripe here, Christ the King, for breakthrough into this place called encounter, right? And whether you're having that or whether you're not, or he's saying you want more of it, ask him, right? Ask the Lord, God, reveal to me, I want to break through and have this place of encounter with you. Well, what does that is God's grace. Let the grace of God say, bust up in my, however term you want, bust up in my room, Lord. And, give the light of this glory of God, the radiance of God in me. And he will. He always honors that prayer. That's one prayer he'll never not honor. Draw me after you and let us run together. Let the grace of God he gets you there, right? And, you'll be amazed at what he'll show you and what he'll speak to you and the revelation that you'll have of who he is.